Let's just pray as we come to listen to our Heavenly Father speak. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are the words of eternal life. And Lord, we pray that in your wonderful way and your love towards us, that you would speak to us now, from the youngest to the oldest, that there would be something that we would hear that comes directly from your mouth, through your word. Lord, that you would change those of us that are trusting in you, and Lord, you would open the eyes of the blind this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name and all for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, Christians are to live very different lives to the world. That is the emphasis of what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 5. The last couple of weeks we've been thinking about what it is as God's children to walk in love. And today, as we move on to look at verses 8 to 14 of chapter 5, we will think about what it is for God's children to walk in light. And if you're with us in 2 weeks' time when we return to Ephesians, we'll think about what it is to walk in wisdom, God's wisdom, from verse 15. Now, every week, it seems there are some horrible reports in the news. But it feels like this week has been particularly upsetting, hasn't it? 8 children and 2 adults stabbed in Southport. 3 children losing their lives. And then the rioting at night, really due to rumors and racial tensions that have been building. A household BBC news presenter pleaded guilty to making inappropriate images of children. The war in the Ukraine is ongoing, and if anything, as my father prayed earlier, it seems that the conflict in Gaza is escalating. Of course, there has been the Olympics, and there's been some successes for Team GB, but the blasphemy of the opening ceremony is still fresh in many of our minds. I actually saw a global Sky News team discussing this, and one of those involved in the report said what was wrong was not the mocking of Christianity, but that it was unfair just to pick on Christianity. They should have just made fun and mocked all the religions and faiths. That would have been acceptable and fair. I heard that, I thought, really? We want our children today to grow up and to mock other people, and as long as we mock everyone, all ages, all beliefs, well, that's fine. What? It may be, in God's goodness, that the sun might shine today, but the brightest light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And his light shines to us through his word and through his people. These are dark times that we're living in. Therefore, we need the light of the Lord Jesus more than ever. There is hope in the good news of the gospel and in the light of the Lord Jesus. And whilst the world will continue to seek other solutions to fix a broken society, whether that be through school education, the hopes of a new government, more awareness of mental health, more counselling, or AI. AI seems to be the one that some scientists, well, we can eventually put brain chips into people's minds and it will change how they think so we can get rid of criminal behaviour. Actually, the Bible is very clear. It is only the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that will bring about real change and impact society for good. Every person who comes to place their trust in Jesus is transformed from the inside out. And one of the ways the Apostle Paul loves to talk about this conversion experience is this illustration of darkness to light. It's there in verse 8, "For you were once darkness." He's addressing the Christians in Ephesus in the first century, "but now you are light in the Lord." This is true of every single believer. true Christians do not think that we are better than anyone else. In fact, far from it. Because as we started to hear God's voice speak to us, as the Bible was taught, or as it was shared with us, what happens is that we become increasingly aware of our sin, of our mistakes. And as we listen more, we actually stop denying our sin. And then the next stage is to stop making excuses for our sin, blaming other people or things that we've been through in life for our behavior. And instead, what we start to do is that we reflect on the perfection and the holiness of God, our Creator, and how actually we've never given God his rightful place in our lives. A good, straightforward acronym that explains the reality of sin is this: shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your ways. A Christian isn't someone who believes we were surrounded in darkness. And in and of ourselves, we suddenly saw the light. It was down to our intellect. I suddenly saw that there's a lot of logic in the Bible. This person, Jesus, is different. I saw that. Rather, a Christian knows that we were part of the darkness. We did not know or want to know God in our lives as we followed the world. And we too were destined to one day face God's wrath on our sin. Yet in God's grace, he has opened our eyes to our wrongdoing. And then he opens our hearts to see Jesus and to start to understand his love in sending his son to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the ransom that we couldn't pay, that we've just been singing about. And that we can be forgiven if we place our faith in him and believe that in his resurrection, there is the promise of new life for us. And a light was switched on. Sometimes that light is switched on in an instant. Other times, it happens over a period of time. But God moves the Christian from darkness to light, from being darkened in our understanding, chapter 4, verse 18, and separated from God to being created to be like God, chapter 4, 24, in true righteousness and holiness. The brightest light here today is the Lord Jesus Christ, in and through his word, and in each of us that are trusting in him. We are light. The middle of verse 8, you are light in the Lord. And it may well be that actually some of you have this light and you don't even realize it. You're waiting for a special Sunday or for a flash of light, for something really to happen. But actually, there is something that you see in Jesus. There is something about the truth of the Bible now, especially how it shines with the darkness in the world, that is appealing to you, and God is already placing his light in you. You just need to ask Jesus to forgive you and to actually say, yes, I do believe this. Of course, the opposite may also be true. There may be some of us here that claim to be light, but we must ask ourselves, is there evidence of that light in our lives? Am I truly trusting the Lord Jesus? Do I know his light? You see, the light of Jesus in someone's life is a light that will never be extinguished. It is a light that actually gives understanding and purpose to life. It's a light that reveals a greater love than what we knew existed. We thought about that 2 weeks ago. It's a light that teaches us truth. It teaches us what is right, what is wrong. It introduces us to holiness. It's a light that helps us with our fears and with our worries. It's a light that comforts us when there is darkness around us. It's a light that only gets more brighter as we learn more about Jesus and as we serve our risen Savior. Because his light is in us. We are light. And that's why Paul is encouraging us to live as children of light, because our light reveals God. Here's one of the great, we actually sung this already today, but here's one of the great statements of Jesus where he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness but have the light of life. Jesus is the source. And when we trust in him through the Holy Spirit, his light enters us. That's why Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5, as he speaks to his followers, you are the light of the world. You have my light in you. So we aren't to be like those candles, happy only shining brightly in the storage room or at church on Sundays. The world needs to see Jesus' light, and a key way that God has planned for the world to see Jesus' light is through our lives. You see, if I go back to Matthew chapter 5, just a few verses on, we read this, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Christians are forever joined with Jesus. It is the most wonderful relationship. Ask a Christian after the service if you're unsure. And why is that? Well, it's for lots of reasons, but it is one of the reasons is because God is light. In God, there is no darkness at all. And how we need God's light. It helps us when we're watching distressing reports on the news or reading about things that are going on to know actually in God's light there is hope. Even in the most desperate situations, there is a chance for the gospel to be shared. God will have his purposes. We need God's light when darkness comes around us in our own lives, when we're facing temptation, when we feel alone, when we're poorly, a loved one is seriously ill. Sadly, the Bible is clear that many will reject God's light. And we have to ask ourselves, why? Why is God's wonderful light? Why will it be rejected? Well, for the same reasons that people rejected Jesus. This is what Jesus said. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. If you're not a Christian and you're here today or listening today, watching today, it is not easy to come into Jesus' light. God has made it very easy for us to do so, but we have to come humbly. All is laid bare before God, all our sin, all our wrongdoing. There is nothing that we can hide from God. So some come, others won't. We saw that last week, this split, didn't we? In verse 1 of chapter 5, we have God's dearly loved children. And then in verse 6, in the midst of those strong warnings, Paul says, for because of such things, he's referring to verses 3 and 4, sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenity, coarse joking, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. There is no universal salvation for every human being. That is not what the Bible teaches. We are either light or we are darkness. We are either the dearly loved children of God who have come to him and sought his forgiveness, or we are the sons and daughters of disobedience who won't come to God. We'll either be with God forever or we will be separated from him forever one day. And the only way to move from one to the other is to accept God's love in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his death on the cross paid the price for your sins, paid your ransom so you could be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, whilst as Christians we must share and we must teach the gospel, it is clear that how we live, it is key to revealing God. If we could just highlight in Matthew chapter 5, that men may see your good deeds. Do you remember those verses that we finished on last week, if you were here? I'll bring them up on the screen this week. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Here are really encouraging words for a Christian married to an unbeliever. In Peter's example here, he uses a husband who won't listen to the message of Jesus, and yet he can be won over, how? By the wife's behavior, how the wife lives. Sadly, I think there are times in this country's history as a Christian nation, I don't think we can be referred to now as a Christian nation, but there have been times, and I think there have been times in my life where God's instruction has been clearly taught in churches Sunday after Sunday, and yet Christians have lived like everyone else Monday to Saturday. And that's not right. That's not why we have the second half of Ephesians. We are to live as children of light because our light reveals God in our lives, at church, at home. Our light reveals God in our marriages, as we parent, at work, when we're out with friends. And even though we make mistakes, the wonderful thing is God never gives up on any of us. And actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18 tells us that he's transforming us into his image. That's incredible truth. And whilst these commands in chapters 4, 5, and 6 are challenging, well, Paul's reminding us that God isn't asking us to be anything that we aren't. We are light. He says, you are light in the Lord. Because it's hard, isn't it? If someone asks us to be something that we aren't, that's difficult. I was thinking about this week. I don't know whether or not this has ever happened to you, like in a job, and you sign up for something, and then actually it's not what you thought it was going to be, and not what you were asked to do. I was thinking, you know, imagine if you're a physio, and you get a new job, and finally the job came up for the one local physio at the local GP practice, and it's come up and it's near to your home. Great, I'll go for that job. And you turn up, and on your first day, can you just cover the receptionist desk? We're short of a staff member at the moment. You spend your first day, and oh, if you're like me, you may not be that organized. this isn't what I signed up for. But you get through that day, and then you turn up on the second day, and it gets worse. Oh, one of the GPs is called in sick. Would you just cover that GP? What? I'm a physio. I'm not a GP. Oh, we'll just send you the patients that are struggling with their movement. Great. There could be a million different reasons why someone is struggling with their movement. It's not necessarily to do with their muscles or that they need physio. God has taken us from darkness to light, and the Christian will naturally shine a light for Jesus. We just need to allow his light to shine. And that's why we have these instructions in Ephesians, because we not only need God's light in our lives through Jesus, but we need his instruction in the Bible to help us not to cover over that light, but to let it shine more brightly. However unpopular true Christianity becomes in this country, we must remember we don't need a church that moves with the world. We want a church that moves the world. As God's light is revealed in and through his people who live by his instruction. Because God's light and the fruit that it produces is actually really attractive fruit. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Well, here's another part of our church motto text from last year. And I'm aware of that. I've spoken on these verses before, so I'm going to be brief. But it is clear, isn't it, that Christians not only influence the world by what we don't do, that was our focus last week, but also by what we do do. Hence why Paul gave all the exchanges. If you look back at chapter 4, all the exchanges between verse 25 to 32, we aren't only to put off falsehood, we are to speak truth. We aren't only to stop living selfish lives, but rather we are to give to those who have need. We aren't only to stop any unwholesome talk, but instead to speak words that build others up. We aren't only to get rid of bitterness, but we are to be kind, compassionate, and people who forgive, verse 32. Hence, in chapter 5, verse 9, the Apostle Paul summarizes what drives those three actions, these three characteristics: goodness, righteousness, and truth. Here is the evidence of Jesus' light in someone's life, of their desire to live a life worthy of God's calling. Goodness here is speaking of compassionate love in action. Righteousness, well, that means that the rightness of character before God and the rightness of actions before men. And both of these qualities, you see, are founded on truth, God's truth. That is why Christians are committed to verse 10, finding out what pleases the Lord. The fundamental daily practice of opening our Bibles and finding out actually what pleases Jesus rather than ourselves. See, we all have different interests, don't we? We have authors that we love to read. We have nature that we like to understand and explore. We have history, perhaps, that we love to study. We have podcasts that we don't want to miss. We have creative crafts like knitting. I never used to appreciate knitting that much. Sorry, Mum, wherever Mum is. Sorry, Mum was always showing me her knitting. But now, when I visit Mary and I see the different things, I think it's because Mary knits more exciting things than you, Mum. She's knitted cars and she's done a wonderful Easter thing. Sorry, I'm going to get in trouble. But we can spend a lot of time, can't we, on our interests. Yet the best thing we can do each day as a Christian is to actively find out, to actually understand, that the word also means to test. Test what is it that pleases God? And we do this by opening our Bibles, meditating on God's word and listening to him. It hasn't got to be for an extended period of time, but it is so important for each believer to listen to God. I wonder how much time we give to this. I wonder what verses of Scripture you've learned in 2024 that are new, that are going to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus. Light also exposes sin, verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. What a contrast. The fruitless deeds of darkness. Light bears fruit, darkness does not. Now, we need to be careful to not misinterpret here what Paul is saying. Paul says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. You see, some Christians have read this verse, and then they combine it with verse 7, and they set about taking their lives and their light away from the outside world. They avoid any friendships or associations with unbelievers. But that is not what Paul is saying. Rather, it is to have nothing to do with any deeds, be they sexual immorality, impurity, greed, foolish talk, things that we looked at last week, or any other sin. Paul says, stay away, have nothing to do with them. The deeds. But we aren't to stop shining our light in the world like those candles. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, and it is the best life to look at, you'll see that he had absolutely nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, and he didn't partner with any unbelievers, but he did spend time with unbelievers. He was always very sensible. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, he prayed in a way that puts us all to shame. And he surrounded himself quite often with his disciples, support when he went into difficult situations. But he spent time with unbelievers. He spent time with those who were considered to be really greedy. Think about Matthew, the tax collector who became one of his own disciples, or Zacchaeus. He also spent time with those who were caught up in all sorts of sexual immorality. Think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, or the woman who anointed Jesus' feet in Luke chapter 7, who the Pharisee, Simon, whose home that Jesus is in, he just stands up publicly. She is a sinner. Likely, I think we're led to understand she was probably a prostitute. And yet all four of those unbelievers, through spending time with Jesus and being exposed to his light, came to faith in Jesus. God took them from darkness into light. And I think it is notable in both the conversion of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 and also the woman in Luke chapter 7 that Jesus doesn't actually preach at them, pointing out their sin. They had heard about his light and they had experienced something of his light in his actions. I think that's encouraging for us, isn't it? You see, it may well be as a Christian that when we choose not to attend a work social because it's taking place in a comedy club that we think won't be clean, or if we decide against joining our friends knowing that what they've actually planned for tonight's activity is not going to bring glory to God, that actually sometimes by just not attending, our actions will shine brightly to them. Maybe more than we realize. Sometimes just politely walking away from a conversation that's moved to gossiping will speak. Or leaving an inappropriate WhatsApp conversation will shine a light. Not using obscenities might one day lead to a gospel conversation. I can remember working. One of the gentlemen in finance who had helped me tremendously with my first board reports. I didn't go to university, and trying to do a board report for shareholders in the US, big company. I was in all sorts of trouble, and he graciously helped me out. He taught me so much. And I never really was bold enough to share my faith with him. Anyway, on the day that he was leaving, I think he swore, and I must have done something just to look away, and he just asked me, "Actually, Malcolm, I've never heard you swear. Why is that?" A gospel opportunity. As Christians, we know God is light. None of our actions are hidden. We should know that. One day, everyone will know that every single deed, thought, and action will be exposed by God's light when Jesus returns. So we shouldn't shy away from sharing the gospel with the opportunities that God gives us, both in word. Sometimes there is a place to call out what we see is wrong. I don't think this is saying never say anything. No, there is a time and a place, but we can't also be those Christians that are always preaching to others, "Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that." Sometimes we must show the world by our actions, by how we behave. God will give us gospel opportunities when we shine our light. We may get ridiculed for being a lightweight when we choose not to drink in excess. We may be labeled as boring or no fun when we don't join in with sinful behavior. But deep down, our light will be shining and it will also expose sin. It will have an impact. Well, to close, a question for us all on a warm, sunny morning. Are you awake or are you asleep? Well, that's not fair, Malcolm. It's hot in here. You've got a fan on and I've had a busy week. So sorry if you've seen me drop off. Well, don't forget, I've spent far more years sitting where you guys have than standing up here, so I know what it's like. But of course, this question isn't about physical sleep. This is a question about our spiritual awareness. Are we spiritually awake? Do you see the darkness around you because it has been on display this week in this world? Do you notice how the world's attempts to fix society, they never work? Do you understand the darkness in your own heart if you're not a Christian here this morning? Read more about Jesus' life-giving and transforming light. Read about his life in the Gospels. Ask me a question after the service about Jesus' light or someone else here. Listen to God speaking now because it is his voice that opens ears and hearts to his truth. And when God speaks and we hear his voice, do you know it always comes with a promise? And it's in this verse, isn't it? "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." If you ask Jesus today to forgive you of your sins, to finally take that step, yes, there is an attractiveness. I'm beginning to see how the Bible really speaks truth. There is right and wrong here that is worth standing up for, that is worth living my life by. There is someone that can take away my darkness and make me light before God. Ask Jesus today to come into your heart, and he will do so. And for those of us trusting in Jesus, well, don't doze off. Let's not doze off in our walks with Jesus. Remember last week, we are to be those who live sexually pure and contented lives. Our words should be clean, sensible, and thankful. And I think we've been reminded again today, we need to find out more about what it is to please God, to prioritize time in his word, to meditate on it, to pray through it, to discuss Bible passages after church. And in regards to our witnessing to unbelievers, well, Paul wasn't instructing Christians in Ephesus to move to another little district where they can live all together in a little Christian community bubble. That's not how the church grows. These instructions in Ephesians aren't about disconnecting from the world, but they're about being distinct from the world. We are to be those who don't even talk about shameful sin. And yes, sometimes we might have to speak out against sin, but other times just living our lives according to God's truth will mean actually even by our absence, even by not getting involved, Jesus' light will shine. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we often aren't very good at being the bright lights that you've made us. So often we cover over our light, rather than displaying your goodness, righteousness, and truth in our lives. Oh, Father, please forgive us. Please help us to bear fruit for you and to find out more each day how we can please you through your word. And help us, Father, in our lives to distance ourselves from sin, to have nothing to do with it, to know when to speak to friends, family, neighbors, and work colleagues about sin, and when our actions will be enough to expose it. Father, you know and you see all things, and one day soon when Jesus returns, all our deeds will be openly exposed because everything is illuminated by your light. So whilst there is time this day, and with the contrast between Jesus' light and the world's darkness as it grows, would you mercifully, even those listening today, bring people into your kingdom of light, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.